This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting. They can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 2675, The Goldilocks Zone of Personal Finance by Nick Majuli of ofdollarsanddata.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Welcome back to Optimal Finance Daily, where every day I read the best personal finance blogs on the web, with permission from the authors, of course. So with that, let's get right to our next article as we optimize your life. The Goldilocks Zone of Personal Finance by Nick Majuli of ofdollarsanddata.com. Being at the bottom sucks. I know the feeling. Growing up as a small kid with no athletic abilities, I got used to getting picked last or near last for any team sport. The experience was always stressful for me. As Robert Sapolsky explains in Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, quote, "For a subordinate animal, life is filled with a disproportionate share not only of physical stressors, but of psychological stressors as well. Lack of control, of predictability, of outlets for frustration." End quote. In the sports world, I was that subordinate animal. I didn't feel like I could control the outcome or get better, so I focused all of my efforts on improving in the classroom, and it worked. From elementary school onward, I was always near the top of my class academically. However, riding high in the world of academics has its own pressures. Anytime I had to prove myself to a new teacher or perform well on a standardized test, it was like being picked last for kickball all over again. Why did I experience moments of acute stress even when I was doing well? I recently found my answer in an experiment done by Jay Kaplan on stress and social hierarchies among monkeys. Like prior researchers, Kaplan demonstrated that those monkeys near the bottom of the social hierarchy experienced lots of stress and had worse health outcomes than those higher up. No surprises there. But Kaplan also found that under a particular set of circumstances, those at the top of the hierarchy also experience profound stress. Sapolsky summarizes it well. Quote, "Suppose you keep the dominant system unstable by shifting the monkeys into new groups every month so that all the animals are perpetually in the tense, uncertain stage of figuring out where they stand with respect to everyone else. Under those circumstances, it's generally the animals precariously holding on to their places at the top of the shifting dominance hierarchy who do the most fighting and show the most behavioral and hormonal indices of stress." End quote. Whether I was competing to stay at the top, academics, or feeling useless at the bottom, sports, stress followed. Personal finance isn't all that different. Those people near the bottom experience lots of chronic daily stress around money that impacts their whole lives. For example, the famed Whitehall study found that even when you control for smoking, level of exercise, and other factors, lower socioeconomic status is still associated with higher cardiovascular mortality. However, people near the top have their own set of money problems. Tyrone Ross highlighted some of these difficulties in a video he recently posted on Twitter. Quote, "And the same people that were born into wealth, born into privilege, they shouldn't be chastised either. Because guess what? Imagine being the son or daughter of someone who's a billionaire or worth $100 million, and you got that on your back. Listen, if I could trade it, I absolutely would. I would trade it for where I came from. But I don't think that there's nothing hard about that either. Trying to live up to mommy and daddy's standard when you don't want to go to Harvard? End quote. As I've written before, there are hidden costs associated with being wealthy, such as figuring out who you can trust and dealing with the expectations of friends and family. On a podcast episode with Russ Roberts, David Owen, author of The First National Bank of Dad, echoed this sentiment when discussing the difficulty of teaching kids about money. Props to Ben Carson for sharing this. Quote, I think it should be said that it's easiest to teach kids about money, obviously, when there's money in the family, but not when there's too much and not when there's too little. I think money is the hardest where money is very tight and in situations where money is essentially boundless. I think it's hardest for the poor and the rich to teach their kids about money. The first, because poverty is not much of a teacher. There's not much to learn. It's all necessity. And at the rich end, it's hard to create the kind of artificial scarcity that you need to make decisions seem as though they mean anything. It's easier in the middle. End quote. Owen's point goes beyond just teaching your children about money, though. It also applies to what level of wealth you should strive for, or what I call the Goldilocks zone of personal finance. Enough money to have comfort, security, and motivation, but not so much that you add guilt, stress, or existential longing. It's not too little and it's not too much. It's just right. My challenge to you is to find and stay in your Goldilocks zone. I can't define exactly how much that is, since it varies from person to person, but I would wager that the amount is less than you think. Why do I recommend this? Because it provides the base level of security that the bottom doesn't have, while avoiding the conflicts that are common to those at the top. It's the best of both worlds, and a privilege that many of you will attain in your lifetime. The sad thing is that some of you are already in the Goldilocks zone, though you continue to crave more and don't realize it. You might disagree with my logic and say that there is no such thing as being too rich. If so, please consider the warning given by Felix Dennis in How to Get Rich. Quote, still, let me repeat it one more time. Becoming rich does not guarantee happiness. In fact, it's almost certain to impose the opposite condition, if not from the stresses and strains of protecting wealth, then from the guilt that inevitably accompanies its arrival. End quote. The upside to having more. Despite the difficulties associated with being rich, the one upside to having immense wealth is that you can improve lives through charity and private enterprise. So if you do decide to go beyond the Goldilocks zone, make sure you know why and ask yourself whether that reason will satisfy your soul. You just listened to the post titled The Goldilocks Zone of Personal Finance by Nick Majuli of ofdollarsanddata.com. And I'll be right back with my commentary. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. If you've been using Mint to manage your finances, I've got some bad news. Mint is shutting down. But now for the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment. A wedding? A dream vacation? Your kids' college? I've found that Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's M-O-N-A-R-C-H ARCHMONEY.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. The Goldilocks zone that Nick describes in this article reminds me of the importance of figuring out how much is enough. I used to think it was a number, such as the baseline formula for reaching financial independence, an investment portfolio worth 25 times your yearly expenses, or a level of achievement, such as a yearly salary goal, number of social media followers, or selling out my event, the Economy Conference. But now I realize that enough is not a destination or goal to be reached. It's a state of mind to be cultivated. The reality is, I already have enough. I have enough money, friends, and achievement. But until I developed an abundance mindset rooted in gratitude for what I already have, it was never going to feel like enough. As one reaches higher and higher levels of success, there's a tendency to move the goalpost of enough so that nothing ever feels like enough. This is why there are multimillionaires in the world with countless awards, accolades, and professional successes that are still miserable. Without peace of mind and the capacity to enjoy the abundance they've created, what's all that success even worth? If you'd like to explore this concept of enough further, I recommend you check out the speech titled The Journey to Enough by Rose Lunsbury on the Economy Conference YouTube channel. And that's another edition of Optimal Finance Daily. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow as usual. So I'll see you there, where your optimal life awaits.